So I'll be talking to you today about a potential approach for improving soil health. I'd like to thank the National Institute for Water Resources for funding, as well as Sea Smoke Vineyard, which provided the site and some of the site support. And I guess an overarching question here that a lot of us are interested in is how to make soils climate smart. And we know that that term has become more popular in the literature, both in terms of the effect that soil has on climate, but also how soils can respond to climate and adapt to climate. And I would argue that a lot of this has to do with combining applied agriculture with microbial ecology that we're learning in unmanaged ecosystems. And one of the biggest problems we face is water limitation. And this figure shows the number of months soils are dry on a yearly basis. So ecosystems that receive a fair amount of precipitation actually do dry out during certain times of the year. So this is a common problem. And one of the knobs we can kind of tweak in order to improve the ability of soil to hold on to water is by increasing soil organic matter content. So we've known for decades or longer, and it's becoming quantified maybe a little more precisely now, that the more soil organic matter you have, the higher the field capacity of the soil. So basically the ability to act as a sponge to hold on to water. But a big question here is which kind of soil organic matter? Of course, we can add, you know, compost or green cover crop. But what about in cases where we want to be a little more specialized in exactly maybe what we add? And I would argue that this water-smart soil organic matter needs to be a good sponge, like I just talked about. So it needs to have a high soil water-holding capacity. Ideally, also, it'll improve the water stability of soil aggregates. So, in other words, to act as a glue to hold together soil aggregates so they don't fall apart and kind of release their organic matter or greenhouse gases. And then finally, organic matter can help increase the hydrological connectivity. In other words, acting as pipes. So as soils dry out, they don't dry out all at once. So you can imagine it's kind of like a river when it dries out. It doesn't happen all at once. You get separate puddles. And that's what happens in soil at the micro scale. We get all these kind of micro ponds that are separated. So a big part of improving the health of dry soil in particular is increasing the connectivity so that resources can flow between organic matter, microbes, and plant roots. And where are we to look? Well, one approach, which I'll talk about today, is these extracellular polymeric substances, EPS. Can be polysaccharides, lipids, or other types of compounds produced by microbes. You probably have heard the term biofilm before. Well, that's what a lot of these materials are. These are individual bacteria in this image, and you can see these slimes that are kind of produced by soil microbes. It's thought to be maybe a way for microbes to communicate. It can help them stay attached to surfaces, and they're also amazing at holding on to water, so it's thought to be an evolutionary adaptation to dealing with dry conditions. And one of these EPS compounds that's available in bulk quantities, you can actually buy in your grocery store. You may have used xanthan gum before. It's used as a food thickener, and this is purely a bacterial EPS. It's organic, so it works in organic agriculture as well. And this is actually a xanthan factory down here. So you can buy these compounds. There's a couple other ones, but this is the main one kind of available in bulk quantities. And when these compounds, and when xanthan gum in particular is added to soil, this is actually a scanning electron microscope image, and it kind of shows up, not as well as I'd like, but there's really bright white strands there, especially you can kind of see them down here. This is xanthan gum coating soil surfaces, and this is about that the scale bar down there is basically 1/10 of a millimeter, so really zoomed in here. And one thing that xanthan does is increase the water-holding capacity, so it acts as a sponge, and can actually double, just by adding 1% by mass, can actually double the soil water-holding capacity. So this is both a direct effect of that xanthan gum absorbing moisture, but also an indirect effect of changing soil porosity and potentially changing soil moisture through more of a physical mechanism. And finally, xanthan is also a superb soil connector. So now we're really zoomed in here. I'm actually at this spot right over here. And you can see how this strand of xanthan gum is connecting soil particles. So this helps with aggregate stability, but also these are wet. So these stay wet longer than the rest of the soil. And previous studies decades ago have shown that xanthan gum and other like dextrin, other EPS compounds can actually diffuse like monomers, small like glucose and small compounds can actually diffuse across these strands. So it's potentially increasing soil connectivity. So now to get to the study, the objective here really was because it is currently difficult or impossible at this stage to extract EPS from soil with all that other stuff that's in soil, we added EPS to discover its function in a plant-soil system. So as far as I know, this is the first study that's actually combined, really tried to see how soil EPS levels affect plant growth. Usually it's just soil all by itself. And you can imagine, of course, water savings associated with this, but also we need to make sure that crops aren't damaged. So, how do crops respond to this? And also nutrient retention in terms are these side benefits potentially of adding these sorts of compounds? So to answer some of these questions, I studied a vineyard in on the central coast of California, and really, it could have been any crop, but these I chose a vineyard because grapes are already kind of adapted to dry conditions. Collected soil from the vineyard and put them into these buckets, and then back in the greenhouse. So I collected the soil in the fall over the winter. I grew simulated what they do in this organic vineyard, and they grow cover crops. And then mixed in that cover crop material with three levels of xanthan gum, ranging from none to low to high. And this is right after I added it, so this is right on the surface, but once it gets mixed in, you really can't see it. We just kind of simulated the tillage one bucket at a time. And then had a six-month growing season in the greenhouse with those three levels of xanthan combined with and without the grapevine present. And I'll refer to that without grapevine treatment as bare soil. Okay, so to get to the results. So this is soil moisture on the y-axis and the date, the growing season on the x-axis. And this is for the control treatment without xanthan. And you can see, this is maybe as expected. It wets up right away at both depths. And you get kind of this, consistent over the time. That was by design. Whenever the soil got below 15% water holding capacity, we irrigated. And of course, the shallow soil tends to be a little bit drier because of evapotranspiration. Now, with the high xanthan, however, even at a 10-centimeter depth, so this was measured kind of coming in from the side of the bucket, so it was right at 10 centimeters, it took a good couple weeks for that water even to percolate down to that level. But once it did, you can see that effect of the higher water holding capacity. And it's about double of what it was for the control. And then that slowly decreased over the growing season. It quickly decreased at the beginning and then kind of gradually decreased after that, probably as that xanthan gum was being eaten by microbes. So this is a carbon source, so it didn't last forever, as expected. At 30 centimeter depth, a little bit deeper now, it took over 2 months just to get 30 centimeters deep. So that water was just staying right in that top layer. And of course, there's going to be potentially negative effects of that. But also you can imagine that, there's this delay where the water's kind of percolating down and then eventually got down to that level and perhaps that increased water-holding capacity shows up much later in the growing season. So this is really a hydrologically disconnected sort of system where the moisture is in the shallow and then kind of moves deeper. So as expected, now looking at the total irrigation that needed to be added basically to keep the soil at a given moisture, this is the expected pattern. So with bare soil, it held more water, therefore less irrigation had to be added. However, with the grapevine present, there's actually really that effect went away. And if anything, there might have been a slight increase of that high xanthan level. So what's going on here? So as you might imagine, it has to do with plants and the actual grapevine itself. And here I'm showing three metrics of plant production, dry biomass, which is a destructive harvest, and then just basically put in an oven and got the dry biomass, number of leaves produced, and then the stem length as well. And for all of these, there was a 50 to 75% increase in production. So this shows that, okay, the same amount of irrigation was added, but there was 50 to 75%, say, more biomass production. One possibility is that there was an increase in nitrogen availability, so I just want to understand what was going on with nitrogen fluxes in the soil, as well as those potential side benefits of retaining nitrogen in systems. And to measure nitrogen fluxes, I used these ion exchange membranes, which are just buried in the soil, and they basically record nitrate concentrations, cumulative nitrate concentrations. Ammonium levels were very low, so I'm not even going to show those data. But for the nitrate, this is in fluxes of micrograms of nitrogen per centimeter squared per day. And you can see that early in the growing season, as expected, all those organic materials were added at the beginning of this growing season. I didn't add any nutrients or fertilizer after that. So you can see that there's this big pulse in the control treatment, but very reduced rates of nitrate fluxes with xanthan. And it didn't seem to matter how much xanthan was added. So either 0.5 or 1% kind of gave the same result. And this was also statistically significant late in the growing season, but really that effect was largest at the beginning. And possible explanations for this were that because it's a carbon source, maybe there was microbial nitrogen immobilization going on, so those microbes have plenty of carbon, but not that much nitrogen, so they take up and hold on to that nitrogen, which could explain that pattern. There's an increase in stable aggregates, so maybe just by aggregates not falling apart as much and being mineralized, that's another possibility. And then perhaps just that increased connectivity that I showed you earlier could have had a role where maybe those plants with xanthan were kind of had a more well, those plant roots were more well connected and actually had greater plant nitrogen uptake. So there's certainly areas for future research. These are kind of all desirable effects. I have to mention the undesirable effect, which I didn't measure, but which is a possibility, is that there was more denitrification going on, that nitrate could have been lost because it was wetter soil and more anaerobic and could have been lost as nitrous oxide. So that's a possibility. I'm not a xanthan salesman, so I'm not trying to sell you guys on this. It's more an idea about how this could affect the system. So in summary, soil microbial EPS amendment led to increased crop water use efficiency. So now I'm combining the plant biomass, the plant production results with irrigation, and you can see that, the grams of plant biomass per liter of water increased by about 50% with the higher level of xanthan. And then secondly, I showed that there was constrained nitrogen fluxes, and of course there's need to figure out exactly where that nitrogen is going. But on average, and this is now integrating across the entire season, there was about twice as much faster nitrate flux in the soils with xanthan. So this might have, there's a lot of interest, particularly in California, with nitrate leaching in the groundwater. So there's, potential here, to make more stable aggregates, whatever type of organic matter that is, it might reduce those rates. So in conclusion, coming back to this question about how to make soils climate smart, and based on these results, I would say we need to consider these microbial products. In microbial ecology, because these products can be great at holding on to water and also affecting soil structure. So whether it's relatively expensive maybe to do this at a landscape scale, but maybe particular crops it would work well, and maybe also we can encourage the native microbes that are already in the soil to produce more of these products in order to improve soil health. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions. So based on my results, and we did some using water stable aggregation as kind of an index of how much xanthan is staying in the soil, it goes away within a few weeks, I would say. So and it might depend on the mineralogy of the soil or other factors, but it doesn't last. I had no idea how long to expect, but it looks like you can see that water holding capacity really went down pretty quickly. But if we can imagine that this could also help in terms of drought adaptation, I think this shows that maybe we can think of layering of soil. So like early in the growing season, maybe plants can get their resources from more shallow, and then maybe later in the growing season, they could get it from deeper in the soil. All right, thank you.